You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, once again. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober. Oh, I'm sorry. What did you ask? I want half and half, no sugar, please, podcast. Thinking about shortening the name. I'm John Rabin. Welcome, you guys. I've had a lot of people subscribe to this podcast this past week, but in the way that people, that is what I've noticed, and I don't know if some people, their podcast apps, they just do a search with either sober or sobriety, and then they, you know, subscribe to different ones. I don't know if they do it selectively by listening, or if they just subscribe to a bunch and then just go through when you're listening going, oh, let's check out this sobriety podcast. No, this sucks. Let's check out this sobriety podcast. That guy's voice kills me. Let me try it. And, you know, whatever works for you. But if you found me by a keyword search, congratulations. Hello and goodbye. This is not so much a sobriety podcast as a podcast by a guy in sobriety. It's a diary podcast. I'm a former heroin addict, retired alcoholic, stand-up comedian, and I just talk some shit for about half an hour. And I'm doing something different today. I started this podcast. Normally, I eat and gather my notes, you know, kind of settle in and then do the podcast. But I've got like the my place to myself, and I was just eager to get to it. So I need to eat. But I'm going to finish this fucking thing. I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to go get food. Just to see, hey, you know, I've been, just got off work. My little part-time gig I'm doing. And I thought, let me just get right into it and see if maybe the motivation to finish so that I can eat is a positive one. Or a distraction. I've never done this podcast hungry. I know this is episode 102. So I've done several. I've talked shit weekly for a while. I don't know. Let me see. Are we two episodes away from 2-year anniversary? Look, at this point, I don't know. How many times do you do anniversary? Do you do them by year? Do you, you know, I did it by the arbitrary number of 100. Does it matter? All right. Sorry. I'm just getting distracted. I have a hot take that is a little old. I'm finally getting around to it. I'm behind the rest of the world by several years. But I've thought about it, and I thought I'd give my finally weigh in on and pick a side. So here it is. I think that Bejeweled is better than Candy Crush. There. Come at me. Bejeweled Stars is the, I tried Candy Crush. And then I didn't like it. It felt like it was going to cause seizures. Then I went to the latest version of Bejeweled, the OG, and did the Bejeweled Stars. And here's the difference. Here's the thing, is that Candy Crush goes by like a timer, whereas Bejeweled goes by moves. So it's like speed and, you know, epilepsy versus strategy. And maybe that's just, maybe that's where the division lies, is Candy Crush is for the youth. And Bejeweled is for old people. I don't know, but I'm weighing in. Bejeweled is the shit. Candy Crush can suck it. That's just, and this is why this is important, because I've chosen to, instead of getting on Facebook, I launch Bejeweled. That's what I've been doing this week. I'm on like day 4, day 5. I don't know. That I'm just not, I'm not even reading Facebook. I just don't, it doesn't make me feel good. So I'll be on Facebook today only to post that, you know, hey, new podcast episode is up. I'm getting the fuck out. And then, you know, but other than that, I don't. So right now I'm on level 41 on Bejeweled, and I haven't gotten on Facebook in 4 days. So, so it's, you know, I'm not saying it's more productive. I can definitely put 3 things that look similar in a row, both horizontally and vertically. I've mastered that skill, to perfection. I can identify, shapes, you know, by colors. That's good. You know, that'll be helpful when I go look for another full-time gig, when everything finally opens up, when it does. And so I'll be prepared to line up 3 similar objects, all of the same color, in order to make them disappear. Some real world experience. But that's, you know what, that's the whole deal. It's just better. I've often commented on how much I do not love unsolicited opinions. And that's all that Facebook is now. There's nobody making jokes anymore. Or at least, you know, I've got like tons of comedians on my, you know, in my news feed. And I don't, you know, they're not, you know, and you'd think that they would be jonesing to get on stage, and they are, but they're not writing content, much like I'm not necessarily writing content either. I've got a few things written in a notebook, but basically I'm just doing this. And, you know, it's just, I think it's better. I don't see a benefit with social media anymore. Even Instagram is disappointing me. Dude, people are posting screenshots of tweets of like Trump and shit. Like, look, I'm in 2 modes when it comes to current events, politics, the news. Here's my 2 modes. Mode 1, I read the news. Or mode 2, I don't read the news. Because I don't feel like it. I'm like, we're going to skip today. I'm watching out for my emotional well-being. I'll keep up to date tomorrow. I do not get my news by screenshot. Who the fuck wants to inform somebody through Instagram? Seriously? Through Instagram. And also, the people who are trying to inform me through Instagram, people I know. And that makes it worse, because you know them, and you're like, really? Really? Are you trying to stay woke? Listen, guy, maybe you can tell me about something after you haven't done cocaine for a year. At least a year. Then maybe you can talk some shit. And I know that sounds hypocritical as an ex-junkie, but let me tell you something. I am extremely prejudiced against one drug specifically. There's a lot of drugs. I'm not saying that, you know, that I think some drugs are good and some drugs are bad. But I hate on cocaine more than any other drug. And I may not talk so much shit on this podcast. I think this may be the first time I've brought up how much I hate cocaine and cocaine users, because they're fucking annoying. Like, I know meth is annoying. I get it. And meth is destructive. But I don't know what it is about cocaine. They're more uppity. They're like annoying and uppity. And it's just, you know, and it makes the people who feel like they know so much. I mean, at least, you know, fuck, man, at least heroin addicts, when they're annoying, it's because they're nodding off and not paying attention to you. But they're not trying to tell you some shit. Fuck, man. But seriously, when you know some things about someone, listen, this is really important. Is it? Been off nose candy for what? 3 months? Jesus Christ. Look, not everything that I say is going to be positive and needs to be emulated. I'm not saying you should hate. You know, you should encourage people to stay off of cocaine. I get it. I think we should. Like, I'm glad you're clean. Duh, I've got a hot take. I don't want to hear it. I'm just glad you're clean. Not shh, shh, shh. But I, shh. Don't do drugs. So, yeah. So I got so annoyed at, you know, some of my gram users. So, like, and I didn't say anything other than just like right now, but I did donate to a nonprofit this week, and it made me feel superior to somebody just taking a screenshot of a tweet. And I know that that's not a pure motivation to donate, but money spends the same. So it made me, it made me feel good and superior temporarily. Totally fucking worth it. So that's what I suggest. And, you know, make yourself feel superior, donate some money, it'll do some good. You know, it may have been out of spite, but you still donate it. It's a good call. They're not going to reject the money, by the way. So, what? Is this a spite donation? I'm sorry. We're going to refund you. All right. Now we got the... we have a little thing I wanted to... Let's bring on my segment called John Reads the News. No, there's one news story that just blew my mind here, and I wanted to use it as filler. One of my news sources that I like to read is the BBC News, which, if you're more familiar with Pornhub than England, that may be a confusing statement. But BBC News, I like the BBC News because it's, you know, it's nice to get a perspective from our news, from a country that's not, doesn't have much of a vested interest in, you know, in picking a side on things. It's just like, hey, here's what the Americans are doing. Gather around. But this article was... and I think the guy's name is Olaf Palme. I don't know. The Swedes have weird names. But the Olaf Palme murder. Sweden believes it knows who killed their prime minister in 1986. So they just solved it. This week. They think they know. And that is crazy. Because it's, they say it was Stig Engström, a graphic designer known as Scandia Man, who killed himself in 2000. Yeah, so basically the prime minister was shot in the back as he walked home from the cinema with his wife in Stockholm. He had already dismissed his security team for the day. The assassination took place on Sweden's busiest road, and more than a dozen witnesses saw a man fire the shots before fleeing the scene. Man, Sweden has a way different process than we do. Can you imagine our government telling us in 1996, like, It's like, ah, Tupac was killed. Oh, incidentally, we just figured out who killed Kennedy. He's also dead, you know, but, you know, been dead for quite a while, 20 years now, but we figured it out at least, so we're going to close it. I don't know what's going on with Sweden. I don't know if they've been in such a, I don't know if like the 80s was weird for them because they got drunk with power due to the, you know, success of ABBA. And so the fall of ABBA kind of shook them. And they're like, oh, but we thought we were going to have another superstar group come out of our country. But no, they, I don't know what, I don't know if the other thing is, because they had over a dozen witnesses and they still couldn't find the guy. Is it because they interviewed all dozen people? Is it because everybody in Sweden looks the same? Is that the problem? They're like, could you describe the shooter for me? Yeah, he was tall, blonde, with blue eyes, and kind of hot. Okay, fuck, that's everyone. Like, I don't know what happened, but that's crazy to me. They just now went, hey, we think it's this guy who killed himself 20 years ago. He doesn't seem to object to this accusation, but we're closing the case. It's crazy. The funniest part of this was the guy, Stig Engström, the guy who they think was the shooter. They went and asked his wife, his ex-wife, by the way. Excuse me. It's his ex-wife. So she had been questioned by detectives in 2017. Ooh, 3 years ago. So only 33 years later. And her quote... at the time, she said that the suspicion of his guilt was out of the question. And this is the exact quote from his ex-wife. He was too much of a coward. He wouldn't harm a fly. Man, you know, that marriage did not end well. Because that's his ex, you know, it's his ex-wife. The guy's been dead 20 years. So they've been divorced even longer. And over two decades... later, the ex-wife is still like, nah, he wouldn't. I don't think he killed him. He was a coward. Jesus. That is some fucking bitterness. It's like, are you going to print this? Yeah. Coward. C-O-W-A-R-D. Spineless dick. You know, that's fucking beautiful. All right. That was John Reads the News. I was not going to use any transition music this episode. I was just going to kind of rush through all the topics I wanted to talk about and then peace the fuck out so that I could go get some food. But, while I was ranting about Sweden and their crack homicide detectives, I heard one of my cats puking, like vomiting a hairball in the living room, and I was pretending. I don't know if it picked up on the microphone. Here's a, if you're really curious, the super fans will go back and listen closely to see if you could hear. It's probably not there. Anyway, I just went to look. And I still don't see it. I couldn't find it. And that's going to suck later. Me and my girlfriend are going to find that like a fucking landmine. That's going to hit us later. And, you know, I'm not going to go barefoot in this apartment for at least a day. That's just... I got to... write a note, remind me to text my girlfriend. Don't take your socks off. All right. So I think I only had one other thing I wanted to talk about. Well, I had one thing that I'm not going to get into much other than listeners of this podcast know how much I love snitches. I think I may have brought up how, you know, how much it bothers me that when somebody's a narc. I think I've brought that up more times than I've brought up heroin addiction on this podcast. That's probably not true. But yeah, so when I read, I had written down a note that I wanted to just rant and rave about people who get into an altercation with somebody who they consider racist online, and they probably are racist, but then they go try to get them fired, and you know, and it's really weird because it's usually like this past week it's been like heated arguments you know about the police, and that's really weird to me that somebody is anti-cop and a narc. Isn't that fucking strange? Like, fuck the police. I'm a snitch, though. Really? It's fucking weird. But I'm not going to go into that. I just wanted to bring that just... That's fucking strange. It's a dumb position, and it's not really thought out. But I did want to bring up one thing. Because, you know... I have avoided a lot of that. I haven't seen any of that local, you know, snitching, though, because I haven't been on Facebook. So that's been nice. Or Twitter. Boy. How much, like, how many, has anybody gotten a job from tweeting? Because there's been a lot of people that lost jobs. Why would you be on Twitter if you're not self-employed? But I think that the whole deal is what I've kind of realized, because I've the past few episodes of this podcast, I brought up how I am on Facebook. My technique has been to direct message people who start a thread whenever there's a fight in the comments and I really want to comment. You know, I'm a, you know, fucking getting in an argument. Instead of doing that, I just directly message the person who started the thread. You know, and I brought that up, and I think last week I brought up that you know, and the point in question that particular individual told me about the guy who was talking shit that I wanted to tell off, and told me how, you know, dumb he was, which really puts things in perspective, even more in perspective. But I think the thing about it is that what I came up with, the reason that I was messaging people directly, was that it was a way to satisfy that urge without doing it publicly and getting into something that was just going to cause me more emotional duress. It was like a temporary solution to this anger that I had when I, you know, when you read something that just, you know, throws you off, right? And it's like, and I got into a conversation with somebody this week, one of the podcast listeners, about how when you see a comment like that, about how it throws you into like this temporary insanity, like where you're just like, and it just sets you, and you have to do something about it. And that's, you know, that's why people try to get motherfuckers fired, you know, because of something that they said. And it's because it's the only way they're trying to satisfy the, I gotta do something, you know, kind of a thing, which is ridiculous, by the way, just as a side note, it's ridiculous to get somebody quote unquote canceled, or fired because you're not killing them. They're not going away. Like, in the same way that when the U.S. bombs countries and creates terrorists, you're doing that for an opposing view. You're basically polarizing them and making them way worse than they were. So just so you can feel better temporarily, like you won. But in the long run, you just made things worse. And because you didn't keep your cool, because you were temporarily insane from reading a thing that made you upset, which is why I've been trying not to read Facebook. I don't like that feeling. I don't like the feeling of losing control, because it really reminds me of addiction. Because it's the same kind of shit in recovery. Like, it's, if you know, it's weird how that's similar, where it's like that, you know, where once that passes, once that, like, that 10 minutes or so goes by after you read that thing that made you so upset, but then you don't comment, or you don't get into a fight, or you don't react to it, you go do something else, and about 10, 15 minutes later, you just kind of like, you're fine, and you're like, man, I'm okay now. Why did I almost just lost it. It's like, wow, that's weird. It's weird that I was in that headspace. That's kind of scary. Anyway, let's go look at cat pictures, you know, or videos. And it's strange how that works. You need some kind of, you know, it's weird how that, you know, because that is how addiction works when you're trying to, you know, especially early on when you're trying to get sober. Because that urge hits you where you're either, you know, extremely bored or you're extremely upset, and you lose that control where you think you've got, you know, where normally you have everything under control. You're like, no, it's fine. You know, it's one day at a time. I'm doing all right. I'm working the steps, blah, 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 doing whatever, you know, or whatever is your process. And then you have that temporary insanity and you just go, fuck. And, you know, I gotta do something. I gotta. And then sure enough, if you can make it through, you look back and you're like, fuck, why? I almost lost it there. That's crazy. It's just, it's strange to me when a lot of things, a lot of anxiety and a lot of panic comes up in other aspects of your life, that it's not all just recovery. It's not just all addiction related, because, you know, as addicts, we think that the shit that we have problems with, it only happens to us, but it also happens to quote unquote normies too, but in other aspects. And of course, we're all addicted to our phones and all addicted to social media. So it only makes sense that there would be aspects of that, just not as self-destructive, just more kind of, you know, emotionally damaging and annoying. So it would make sense that it pops up in other aspects, which is almost why we should, you know, not just people in recovery and not just people who go to rehab and have to deal with the some of the cult-like training in rehab. That's effective. That's why it's similar, by the way. It's like, oh, this sounds like you went to a cult meeting. No, it's rehab. It's the same kind of thing. You have to get broken down because you're stubborn. And you're like, I'm not going to change. And you get, you know, you have to get broken down. And then later you can figure out some of that was bullshit. But you have to get in that mindset. So, yeah, it makes sense. But we really, I think everybody would benefit from learning cognitive behavioral therapy. That really would be to understand that your thoughts aren't, you know, are just thoughts. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, you're a good person. They're not real. They're just yours. And then, you know, it makes you feel a certain way. And then the action is what the problem is. But as soon as you feel a certain way, if you can redirect and reanalyze that thought before you act, you know, then you can avoid doing something damaging to another person, but you know, especially to yourself. I think that would be beneficial. I don't know. Oh, fuck, guys. We're at the end of the podcast. I can go get food. Yeah. And I kind of made a point that I learned this week that was recovery related. So if this is your first time hearing me, hey, I did a thing. Maybe we'll do that every week. Maybe. maybe not, but maybe. But I appreciate you guys sticking with me again this week, and we'll do this roughly the same time in 7 days, every Wednesday or whenever you listen to it. I appreciate you guys sticking around. Take care of yourselves. Take a lot of zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C. Get some rest. Get some sun. Get some exercise. Do social distancing, for fuck's sake. Just to be careful. Take care of yourself emotionally. If you're a sober person, stay sober. If you're not a sober person, practice some restraint and stay sane, will you? Love you guys. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for listening, at least. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. Later. But for the piercer skin, come back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone line.